Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, the first day of October, a Tuesday edition. Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3 at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. My name is Colin Russo, joined alongside me, Mike Rizzo with Christian Catt, of course, behind the glass. We had Steve Phillips on, former general manager of the New York Mets, current MLB analyst on the leadoff spot on MLB Network Radio and Sirius XM. Talked about a slew of things, said he was in on the teams like the Padres and the Phillies, out on teams like the Tigers, said the Baltimore could be a sleeper team that could pop out of nowhere with that wild card spot and make a run a little bit. It sounded like that hit a nerve with Mike Rizzo across from me. And you're out on them.
I'm out on Baltimore, and more or less, listen, Steve was great, and I thank Steve for joining us, hoping he joins again. I completely disagreed about the Central stuff. You can call me a Cleveland homer all you want, but you play who's on the schedule.
But you're talking about disagreeing with it.
Okay?
It's numbers.
I don't care. You look what's going on in Houston right now with these
cheating. I agree. It's all
cheating.
Timing. It's all
with
timing.
With these cheating you-know-whats, okay? There looks like they're finally going to get some karma in this series. And
Slow down, too.
And then right now.
Slow down. They might score three right here, and then all of a sudden.
Colin.
Hold on.
Cheaters!
They might, hold on.
They got
don't
what's coming
that.
To
do
them.
Not jinx.
They got
don't
what's
stop.
Coming to them.
Stop.
All right. I'm not worried.
Don't jinx the Astros.
Not worried. And then a team like Kansas City, they're in a dogfight right now with Baltimore. It's 0-0 in the fourth inning. Cole Reagans has gone 4.2. The reason I don't like Baltimore, Colin, Corbin Burns is not a strikeout per nine guy anymore. I don't know what happened there.
But
he's not a strikeout per nine guy.
He's a reliable arm. It's just everybody else. They don't have anywhere else to go.
I don't like Suarez. I don't like Kramer.
They don't have anywhere else to go.
Rodriguez is a strikeout per nine guy, but the problem is he could give up five earned runs in any given moment. So I don't necessarily like their starting pitching. I told you about their bullpen. They never addressed Batista being out. They got Kimbrel in there. I guess Cano is a good enough hold guy.
Oh, Cano stinks.
He's got a couple of holds on the year. That's why I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I don't like their bullpen. I don't like their starting pitching. And when you have young hitters, who knows what you're going to get out of them when the lights are the brightest? And you saw last year, they tried to sign Jack Flaherty towards the back end of the year. That didn't work out. They gave up a huge prospect as well to St. Louis. That kid, his name is forgetting me. I apologize. But when I was doing radio in Peoria, St. Louis got a pretty good prospect for Baltimore, and he's climbing up the ranks with St. Louis now. So, I don't know. I'm not a fan of Baltimore. I think it's more than likely the Royals and the Tigers are going to advance. That's why I don't necessarily agree with
Steve.
Hold
on. Did we watch the Royals at the end of the year? They were terrible. They have been terrible for the upward part
of
a month.
But I like their, you know me and the pitching. I like their pitching more.
But it's timing. Timing is what wins in the postseason.
Theme,
timing, and magic.
Well, their
that
theme,
is the biggest fuel in the fire in any postseason, especially in this one.
I'm sorry, Bernard. I also think that Bobby Witt is the best player on the field.
Yeah,
as well.
You're up on
Kansas City.
Kansas
32,
City,
32 home runs, 109
Kansas
RBIs,
City
baby.
Stunk.
211 hits.
They have been terrible. They have been terrible.
Lugo, Reagans, and Singer.
They've been terrible. It's not even okay. We can list the roster. They've been awful. So it's about timing. Detroit. You could go down the roster of Detroit, and we're going to gag a couple times. They're playing great. It's timing. Great managing.
About the Orioles, right?
Yeah, but the Orioles were in free fall in August and into September. They started to turn around a little bit. That series against the Yankees meant a little something, getting a couple wins there. But the Orioles, at the very least, have the lineup and have, after that Detroit series last weekend, began to rebound a little bit. I'm not going to count them out. It's two teams in free fall, or at least were. Kansas City is in a larger. They're right there with Minnesota. That was a terrible, terrible last three,
well, you
four
guys,
weeks
you know,
they had.
Steve and you we're talking about beating up on the White Sox. It's the only reason Minnesota was in it. They won like 15 straight games against
them. You can't do both sides.
Yes, I can.
You cannot take both sides.
The Royals played good against good.
You cannot give them a get out of jail free card.
The Royals and the Tigers played good against good teams outside of the White Sox as well.
But they were 12. The 12-1 is the reason they made it to the postseason. That's what he's talking about. I understand it. It's not like you play who you play. You deal with it. Everybody played the White Sox, but the idea that it's just the Twins, that's not fair. You got to do pick one or the other. Yeah, you got to do.
No, I hate the Twinkies. I don't like anyone in the division. I just want justice for the Central because I want Flowers for this division. Everybody counted everyone out. This is the worst division in baseball. It's worse than the NL Central. Yeah, hold that. Three teams in the MLB playoffs. One's winning 3-0, and another one is in the dogfight with the Orioles.
Is there a reason that they were relatively close to 500, or at least of the bunch? They had the lowest record all in the AL Central. Is there a reason that the team that lost the most games in the modern era for the MLB is in their division? All three of them were in the mix. There's no correlation there. Is that what you're saying?
No comment.
So there's no correlation there. C-Cat, how you doing today?
Doing okay. How are you?
Man,
is there a glare in there? Do you have any sunglasses just in case?
I told Colin.
These are nice specs.
I told Colin. I for everyone just joining us, Colin, I struck a nerve with C-Cat today. I struck a nerve with our guy today.
Well, and he's got him on, so okay. Well,
we need the cam on. There we go. Turn on the YouTube stream, folks. Russo and Rizzo on YouTube. You know what? I wish I didn't do it. So C-Cat walks in with those shades on. And I like to joke around with this station. When we walk in, we have a parking pass now where we walk in through the back door. And it's like, you know, walking into a playoff game. You know what I mean? You're an NBA player strutting on in for your playoff game. You know, and C-Cat's doing his strut, and he's got those specs on. I look at him. I go, "What's up, coach? Got you playing left field today, huh?" And, like, I thought he would laugh. Like, I thought about that one all day, didn't you?
Care to comment, C-Cat?
Yeah, he's just a hater. And then you get jealous and you show the shots.
And then he came back 5 minutes later and said, "As you can see, Riz, you struck a nerve there."
So protective about the glasses?
Yeah, I just thought it was unnecessary. You know, you take a chance in your wardrobe, you break out a different accessory that you don't wear.
So you're insecure about this outfit choice.
He said it. He said it struck a nerve. He said,
wear it with confidence.
He said, "Riz,
thought I was."
He said, "Riz, you struck a nerve." Now you're talking to a bozo over here. That wears I wear the station glasses that cost about 99 cents of production. I'm not allowed to have cool glasses because I lose everything. I'll buy Ray-Bans. They'll be gone in 2 months, and I'll be spending $300 on new glasses.
Let me get some of this straight. You cannot wear glasses like you are wearing, like the big, they're covering half your face, and they're like the baseball. You cannot wear those and expect people not to comment. It sounds like you wanted to wear it and nobody say anything. Walk, you got to wear that. People are going to say things.
We've got a co-host here who is tossing stones from a glass house because, I bleep you not, on his maybe third day here, Michael Rizzo wore gym shorts and a white button-up dress shirt. Oh. So that's why I'm getting
gym shorts. They were cargo shorts. Okay.
Oh, that makes it a lot better.
They were... Colin, I grew up at a country club.
Rizzo family listening?
They were the country club shorts, okay, with the button down on, and everyone had a problem with it.
As they should have.
It's a look that I've done my entire life.
And did people give you crap for it?
No.
Everyone had a problem.
The silent judgment.
Theo, it was the silent judgment, and then Theo finally pulled me inside and said, "Yeah, Riz, I don't think you could pull that off." Theo is my fashion guru. I like my outfit today. I got my polo, I got my polo dress pants on with my polo shirt and then my Pistol Pete shoes.
So, God forbid I wear a pair of sunglasses
My problem is you're upset that he made a comment about it. You can't wear glasses like that and people don't make a comment.
I haven't seen Rizzo all weekend, right? I go spend time with my loved ones. I spend time in my apartment, leisure, watch football. I wasn't here yesterday because I was in Miami for Miami Heat Media Day.
Thanks for the invite.
And the first thing that he says to me is an assault.
Hello,
on
how was
my,
your weekend?
Yeah. No. It's, hey, with this joke that he was cooking up all weekend. He probably saw them on the desk. I was waiting for that. I wore them out loud. Yeah.
It's the first time I ever saw those glasses. And the MLB playoffs were starting today. I thought, Colin, what do you always talk about? Theme, right?
Vibe.
Theme. Vibe. MLB playoffs. Don't those glasses look like a left fielder looking up in the sky and flipping down the shades to secure the fly ball?
I look hot. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, sunglasses can turn a woman from a 7 to a 9. They can do the same thing for a man.
Wait.
I've gotten like 2.5 points.
You're losing me.
Grown men don't say I look hot.
You're losing me.
Grown men do not say
that. They're not hot. They don't do that. Yeah, you're right. Well, maybe you're
losing me. But, wow, I didn't, I guess, country club shorts and a button down ain't the move. I got to move off that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I didn't see it, but I would agree.
I'm not going to get all insecure about it like you did with the glasses. I appreciate the criticism, but.
Wow.
Jealousy.
Jealousy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
How was, by the way, hang on. How was Heat culture yesterday? I honest to God, I wish I could have went.
We cheapened Heat culture because while they were doing player interviews, like we were like the only show in town talking about Josh Allen, the Bills, and the Ravens a lot louder than these very modest and lower spoken players were. So in the background of all the interviews you hear from Heat Media Day yesterday, in the background, you hear, theoretically speaking, live from there.
And Hero,
look at me.
Colin, yeah. Hero dropped the bomb with them. I don't know if you heard that.
No, what
did Tyler Hero dropped the bomb yesterday with you guys.
Theo like wasn't too confrontational about it. Wasn't prying too much at Tyler Hero, but he was like, hey, how about that trade? Minnesota, the Knicks, cat on the move. What do you think about it? And he goes, I'm not really going to give my opinion on it. And then Theo said nothing. Minnesota won the trade. I like Minnesota a lot more now.
So a Hero said.
So he's not a fan of Karl Anthony Towns. I think New York won that trade. I don't know. I'm curious he said that. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's just he loves Julius Randle.
I was with Colin yesterday, too, on that. I mean, Brunson, Cat, seemed like Brunson needed another scoring option. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, a little nugget from Tyler Hero.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's happy that you guys took that quote out of context and ran with it?
No, we put it the entire context in it.
Okay.
We put the, I don't want to give an opinion on it. That was hilarious.
And then Theo goes,
cracking up.
And then Theo goes, there was like a silence and Theo goes, well, you really gave your opinion on it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I liked it.
It was good radio.
Well, we got to get to the 5-on-5 next. That was Christian Kapp behind the glass. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Surviving on the streets,
look at me. Well, masterclass in jinxing the game just went underway last segment by our very own Rizzo. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.
I mean, you guys already act like the Astros won the game. We're good. One out in the ninth, second and third.
Man on second and third, one out, bottom nine. Detroit 3-1. They're out of a mountain visit right now with Foley. Who are they bringing in?
It's what my grandfather used to say. They got him right where they want him.
Yeah.
They got him right where they want him.
They don't. I think Houston's going to find a way to win this, and it's going to be problematic, to say the least. Foley blew the game last weekend against the Baltimore Orioles, and they brought in Breeski, whatever the name is.
Bo Breeski.
Yeah, and they brought him in, and he closed the game. So maybe they get a little bit more luck with that. I give Hinch credit for making a change there before it got any worse. Man on second and third, we'll keep you updated on Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3, presented in part by Hard Rock Bet Sports Betting. It's legal in Florida on Hard Rock Bet. It's Florida's only legal sports betting app. Bet on this week's games. Bet on who you think will win the division, the conference, win it all. They got it covered. They also have college football as well. You can bet on touchdown scores. You can bet on passing yards. You can bet on other stats, total points, who will win, so much more every Sunday on Hard Rock Bet. If you miss kickoff, you can also bet live, play-by-play, towards the end of the game. It's got easy deposits and fast withdrawals. It's got PayPal, Venmo. It takes cards, whatever. And, you know, it's perfect because it's simple enough for the new player to get involved and understand things quickly. But it also has the sophistication and levels to it that will satisfy the experienced player on Hard Rock Bet. It's a sportsbook for every kind of player. Try Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back if your first bet does not win. The first bet can be a parlay. It can be a prop, over, more. It's up to you. Any game you choose. The amount you bet is the same amount you get back. Try Hard Rock Bet today. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888. Admitted, I'd live bet the Astros if I had a choice.
No.
Man, on second and third here.
Got him right where they want him.
All right. And C-Cat helping us out behind the glass, as always.
Quick update. Royals 1-0. RBI single. Bobby Witt. Middle of the sixth coming up.
All right. That's our Royals 1-0 now. Of course, Detroit sitting at 3-1, bottom nine with men on second and third. C-Cat, how you doing today? Welcome in. Let's do some 5-on-5.
Number one.
Thanks for having me once again, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Riz, you're going to jinx this game so bad.
Why do you guys, like...
The 1-1 pitch,
you guys take like
strike.
A sick pleasure in me being wrong?
No. I think you just screwed over the Tigers.
No! right. Nothing I said. Like, it's hysterical with the jinxes. I could have said nothing, and the same result would have happened. I don't think jinxes exist.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
I do not think jinx exists. Oh, there we go. All that. Right, there's an out. Riley Green,
send him.
Big
right.
arm, didn't even send him. Two outs. Take that, C-Cat.
Number one. Pretty good game
number
last.
One.
Seahawks, Lions, the only actual football game that was on last night. The other was some weird sport that they had the same rules as football, but I didn't recognize it. But Seahawks, Lions was a good one. Which team goes further this year? Lions or Seahawks?
I think Seahawks showed me something yesterday.
Yeah, you're high on them. I'm not necessarily very high on
them. I don't understand.
Seattle,
they have a lot of talent, especially offensively. I'm in on the head coach, youngest head coach in the league. He's definitely lacks experience, but they play hard for him. And, you know, they tried to weather a perfect storm out of Detroit yesterday, and they just couldn't keep up. That's the truth of it. And, you know, in terms of upside, Detroit, of course, they just have talent all over the field, and Goff is more proven as a quarterback comparatively to Smith. So it's got to be the Lions here. But I think the Seahawks did show me something.
I think it's the Lions. They're proven. They went to the NFC Championship last year. If Dan Campbell wasn't trying to act like a WWE personality, they're probably in the Super Bowl. And Seattle, maybe it's because I'm so high on the Niners. I picked the Niners to win the Super Bowl. That I'm not really giving him any credit. I'm not a Geno Smith guy either. I think he's serviceable. I question if Geno Smith can, number one, lead him to the playoffs and or win a playoff game. So I'm going to have to go with the Lions. I think they're the more complete team.
Number two.
Mike McDaniel, after Monday Night Football, said, quote, changes are coming, with the Dolphins losing to Tennessee at home by double digits. Will these changes change anything for Miami this year?
Changes, clearly not. If Huntley is still going out in a quarterback, that's the only main real thing you could possibly do. And it's been confirmed that Huntley's going back out there. So no, nothing's going to change. If they take a step, I'll eat my words. But they are in a tornado, a crap storm. That's where the Miami Dolphins are.
I think it's just one of those years. It's one of those years where you're probably going to win five or six games for the Dolphins. I know.
I think you're highballing it at that point, but yeah.
I took more stock into it going out. I think it had a lot more to do with him going out and losing the season there. Colin brought up a lot of good points about coach not getting him up and ready to play, and I think they're all good, but I think the players could have a little bit more accountability as well. Regardless, they're a mess. And this opens the door for the Jets. This opens the door, I think, for another AFC team, because I did have the Dolphins in the playoffs before the season started. So they could bring in, you know, Joe Flacco. I don't even think it would go right. And Flacco beating the Steelers last week and leading the Browns to the playoffs last year. What changes are you going to make? Bringing Odell back? Is that the change? Is he going to come out, Colin, and say Beckham's available?
Tickets were $30, like the cheapest seats to get into Hard Rock, and that's about right with how bad that football game was. With how great Friday night was for the U and their hilarious win over Virginia Tech.
Hilarious, by the way.
You got a much better bang for your buck for the Miami game on Friday than you did on Monday night.
$30, yeah. I would need to be paid to sit in that stadium last night. That is how bad that game was. Number three.
Did you go for $1,000?
Did they paid me $1,000? Yeah, I'd go to the game.
Okay.
What's the amount of money that someone would pay you to go to that game?
I wouldn't go for $100. I'd go for $150.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't go for $100. I wouldn't go for $100.
I'd go for $150. $100, no. I'm not going to that.
So someone has a crisp $100 bill and they're waving in front of Colin.
Forget it. Up it. Michael, how much would you go for?
$300. That's my running rate. $150 is not worth sitting through that, I think.
All expenses paid, I'd go for free.
They don't get you anything. You don't get like free meals out of it. It's not like an all-inclusive resort.
All right, not meals,
love
but
those,
concession
Colin.
Stand, like a little per diem action.
All right, that changes things. You could get $500 worth of items at the
concession. No, but something reasonable. You know, like I got a sugar daddy taking me.
Postseason since 1990, teams are 1-538 when trailing by 3+ runs entering the ninth inning. The Astros, of course, bases loaded, two outs. Nice job. It would be 2-538 after Mike Rizzo decides to speak into
Jason,
calamity.
Jason Hayward up, the guy who had the amazing speech for the Chicago Cubs during rain delay.
This ball's going to hit the train. He's going to smoke this one over the big wall.
They got him right where they want him. They got him right where they want him.
3-1 Houston, bottom nine here.
And Jason Hayward is up.
Yeah. Bo Brisky on the mound, 12 pitches in. They took out Jason Foley after putting two men on and giving up a run.
3-2 pitch and he walked. The last at bat went down to a full count and he walked. So this looks like this kid can't throw a strike.
I got to be careful. I know they're the rights agreements. I don't want to give play-by-play. But 89 low and away, 1-0 count.
Number three.
Thank you. I was
DJU. He has a broken finger, believe it or not. He's going to miss multiple weeks for Florida State. FSU, they are 1-4 with DJU at the helm. Can Florida State be bowl eligible at the end of this year?
I want to start this column because I'm going to say something that might ruffle the feathers of Florida State fans. I think they're the biggest disgrace in college football this year for many reasons. Number one, maybe instead of complaining in the offseason about what went wrong the season before, you should have been preparing for this year.
I agree with that.
I was also on the train of, you know, similar to what I've been saying about McDaniel, right? Of, it's just a bad year. It's just a down year. I mean, you've lost to SMU and you've lost to Memphis. And I think you lost to two bottom tier aces. With all due respect to Billy O'Brien and what that coach is doing out there at Virginia Tech, I don't think they're world beaters. This is
Boston
a
Boston College, Bill O'Brien.
Yes. And then the coach for Georgia Tech, I forget his name. This is a disgrace. Tallahassee fans and Florida State fans have every right to be mad. And that this whole DJU NIL deal is going to go down as one of the worst in the history of college.
Jason Hayward lines one right into first base. Wow.
Hey, C-Cat,
that
you there?
That had a two-run RBI written all over it.
Hey, Colin, you there?
Right into first.
Exit velo like
Tigers
114.
Escape. It was Torgelson who made the play there.
What have I been saying? Got him right where they want him.
Number four.
Tigers escape 3-1. Bases loaded, two out. That's postseason baseball for you. Wow, in Houston. Tigers get their Scooble game, as Steve Phillips says. Now they're in the mix. A.J. Hinch, revenge on the Astros, of course.
Hey,
he's the scapegoat for that cheating scandal.
Theme.
What's
I told
the theme?
You.
What's the theme?
I told you.
They
got
the theme there.
The theme with that ninth inning got them right where they want them.
1-538, and Rizzo was basically a glove size from being wrong.
Got them right where they want them, man.
Wow. Jason Hayward gets lined out, facing the top of the lineup soon, but Bo Brisky.
What do you mean? That's right to him.
Right to him.
You guys are taking the you-know-what on that. That is right to
him. But he hit the ball well.
Please.
It's what we call a barrel.
Dude.
In the game.
Jason, he's trying to talk himself off this hill.
I'm not talking myself off the hill. Jason Hayward is a proven fraud. Is there a bigger fraud than Jason Hayward?
There's no reason to go after Jason Hayward here. He got the barrel of the
ball. You guys are like, oh, dude, it was so close. That guy's a choker.
He got good contact there. You got to take it easy. Jeez. Number four, wherever the hell we are.
Number five.
On fourth, Pete Rose passed away, sadly, at the age of 83 yesterday. Should Pete be a Hall of Famer?
Well, and Steve Phillips alluded to it. If you missed any of that, you can catch that interview on Russo and Rizzo on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But he mentioned, of course, the Hall of Fame has its rules about the suspension list. Well, the bottom line is it's a matter of the lifetime suspension list, and it's basically, you know, him and Shoeless Joe Jackson are the notable ones. But the idea that as a baseball player, as a baseball, not as a manager, he should not be in the Hall of Fame is stupid. He should absolutely be in the Hall. If everything, all of his, the records that are going to be untouchable records, that is, nobody's touching that hitting record ever again. At-bats, nobody's touching it. Nobody's touching it. Pete Rose is an unparalleled baseball player. Absolutely be in the Hall. Gambling on your team to win is a whole lot different than gambling on your team to lose and throwing the games a la the eight men out Black Sox. So I think that this is a situation. I don't think they should. Now it's in bad taste to do it. But they should have done it when he was. And Pete's pride got in the way of that. I'm willing to. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Didn't admit it until 2004 when it came out in 1989. But should absolutely be in the Hall for his contributions as a baseball player. You can't have the hit king not in there. Can't do it.
Agree with everything Colin said there. I'll add this too. I think as time goes by, and that's how I worded the question for Steve, Colin, I more or less said, you know, this is probably going to sound like it's in bad taste, but now that he's not here with us anymore, I mean, I think it's only a matter of time. I think it's only a matter of time.
I think you got to die on the hill. That's what I think the MLB is going to do. They're very stubborn. But I don't think they're going to do it.
What's your take on, like, you know how gambling is now? Like, I understand players.
That's why it's a fraudulent thing. It's like MLB right. Presented by FanDuel.
That's what I mean.
But it's stupid.
So that's my take on it.
You can't be presented and work hand-in-hand the sports leagues with the gambling, but all of a sudden it was like it was the worst thing in the world. Did you know that when Pete Rose's son made his major league debut, the MLB made him buy a ticket? That, they screwed him. And I know he was caught in the middle of three commissioners because he was suspended. Here's a fun fact. Not really that fun. But Bart Giamatti, the MLB commissioner at the time in 1989, of course, the gambling probe comes out and he was, you know, betting on games, didn't want to admit it. Giamatti, who was a commissioner, late August, puts him on the suspension list for his life. 9 days later, a week and a half later, Labor Day weekend, it was the end of August, and Labor Day weekend, dies of a heart attack. Of course, they bring in a couple interim guys. Faye Vinson comes in, was a terrible disaster general as the commissioner of the Major League Baseball. And of course, when Bud Selig took over years later, that's when, if Pete Rose was willing to admit, hey, I did this, I never threw games, I never bet on my team to lose, I the integrity of the game meant too much to me. If he did that, he played ball in a sense, I think he'd be in the Hall of Fame tonight.
Repent for his sins.
And he has since, but it took him 20 years to get there.
I mean, I used to see the videos of him outside of, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame doing autographs and stuff. That just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I don't know. That really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, he's handled it. That's Pete as a person. Pete is a complicated person. But as a baseball player, he owned up to the gambling thing immediately. I think it would have went. I think Seeley would have threw him a bone. It would have went a whole lot different.
And I think you're right. We'd be in bad taste if they put him in now.
Now you can't do it.
It would be a slap in the face. Now that you can't experience it.
Well, all he asked for the last 15 years of his life was to be inducted.
So I'm going to have to tell, hopefully, you know, if I'm lucky enough to have kids, I'm going to have to tell my grandkids, hey, all-time hit king, not in the Hall of Fame.
But why, Grandpa?
And I got to tell the ugly story.
You're having kids?
I hope so. One day.
All right.
Is that not fair?
Number five.
Wait a minute. Is C-Catch shaming me for wanting to have kids?
Wow. I can't imagine you with children.
Why?
Whoa. I don't know. You seem like a hotshot bachelor.
I see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Now you got to prove them wrong. Have a couple kids.
I mean, my God.
The way this guy paints the town red, man. I feel like Rizzo's walked to the office in yesterday's clothes like four times. Been here for like 2 weeks.
He's had this. He's coming
What's
after.
What's going
you.
On, man? It's because of what I said about the glasses.
Number five.
Major League Baseball playoffs underway. We just told you 5 minutes ago the Tigers took game one versus the Astros. Which wild card team is the most dangerous?
You're clearly out on Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm not a Baltimore believer. I think it's got to be one of these central teams. I think it's the Royals and I think it's the Tigers. I'm hoping it's not the Tigers, Colin. Because my Guardians, and by the way, I wanted to apologize. I said Indians with Steve. It's Guardians. I apologize. But, you know, you got Scooble every 3 days. That guy is going six regardless, minimum. Damn near seven every single time and striking out six and keeping it under two. So I like the Tigers in that sense. In the NL, I do have to agree with Steve. I like the Padres. That triple play, you know, Colin, you talk about theme, you talk about mojo. Those Padres have mojo. Manny Machado really not that he was bad, Colin, but really resurrecting his stardom again. They got Dylan Cease. They got Michael King. I like their bullpen enough. I'd probably go with the Tigers and the Padres.
I don't like that starting pitching as much as Steve Phillips did. Outside of King and Cease, it's Darvish. We've seen this movie before.
He's got experience, right?
A bad experience. I mean, how many games has he blown in a big spot? But what I'll say about the Padres is, in terms of well-roundedness, they're right up there with anybody. And he said he thought Jackson Merrill was going to win the Rookie of the Year. I don't think they could give it to anybody but Skeens. That's another problem for another day. But
with you on that.
I think that it's going to be the Padres or the Mets here. I mean, of course, the Tigers got mojo, but I think the Mets, watch it happen. Either the Mets are going to Met or they're going to make a run. That's what's going to happen. And the Padres, of course, as you mentioned, top to bottom, whole lot of talent.
They're fun too, right?
Yeah, they're fun. And at a certain point, the money's got to go somewhere. It's got to show up somewhere. And I think it might, but we'll see. I'm not necessarily, you know, buying into the proof with the Padres at the moment. That was our 5 at 5. A little late. Nonetheless, that was Christian Catt helping us out. Appreciate that. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. We close out the program next. Give our final thoughts. Big Ten SEC coming together to make plans for 4 automatic bids apiece on a scheduling agreement for the college football playoff. We get into that. We close out the program. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Close out the program here. October baseball is here with the wild card series. He's basically in full-fledged right now with the Tigers escaping against Houston Astros, winning that one 3-1. Bases loaded, bottom 9 with 2 outs there, and they escape. Baltimore and Kansas City going at it right now at Camden Yards. 1-0 Kansas City. That's the end of the 7th. Low-scoring one there. The Mets and Brewers are officially underway. The Brewers' hot start. Bottom one, no outs. Severino getting banged early. Already 1-0 for them with man on first and second currently.
No outs.
Mets are going to Met. Brewers, for some reason, have their number. It's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. Christian Catt, presented in part by our pals over at the Boca Raton Bowl. It's coming up, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase, presented by the Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. Heats up on Tuesday, October 15th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join ESPN West Palm's Theo Dorsey at Brick and Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now, includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. The SEC and the Big Ten are rumored to be getting into talks in Nashville next week about a scheduling agreement. Maybe teams play once a year, a Big Ten team plays an SEC team. But another point that came up was the fact that each conference wanted 4 automatic bids to the college football playoff apiece for when that contract finally alleviates in 2026. Maybe that's the way of with the committee with renegotiating that they'd get 4 auto bids per conference. That's the word on the street. I have a problem with that, but Rizzo, I want to see what you have to say.
Can I tell you why they're doing this, Colin? Okay. 12 of the top 13 right now are Big Ten and SEC teams.
It is early in the year.
It is, but can you guess the one lone team that's in there? I think you can. The one lone team. The top 13, Colin, 12 of
Miami.
Yeah. And I could argue, who's the 4th team in the Big Ten? Michigan? Penn State? Oregon? Whoever you say it is.
Problem is, the SEC would have that. I think the Big Ten's trying to group their way in. They don't produce 4 quality college football playoff worthy teams per year. They don't.
In the standards of the Penn State fan. Last year, the year before that, but in the standards of 2024, when you're putting 12 teams in the playoff, yeah.
You think your Big Ten's going to get 4?
Yes.
Who?
All right, so
Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, who else?
Probably Michigan.
Michigan is not, no. Michigan has USC, they have Indiana, underrated.
They beat
and
USC.
Hold on, they beat USC. They have Indiana, they have Ohio State, and they think they have one more. It's at
Illinois.
Illinois. They stink. That team is going to lose 2 more games at least.
You think Michigan 4-4 loss team?
Yes, they should have lost on Saturday. They're changing the rule because of Michigan won. Absolutely. They're changing the offside rule.
86 passing yards for Alex Orji.
Terrible. That team is not making the college football playoff. They don't pass the eye test, and they're not going to have the resume.
You don't know how much I love hearing that, but I'm with CCAT. I think Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, I think at least 3. Now, to your point, maybe the 4th is USC. Maybe USC, Now, their schedule, USC has to go, and actually, they're playing Penn State at home. Penn State fan, I know I've been hard on the Nittany Lions, but can you win that game at USC?
Yeah, not much of a home atmosphere there in USC in comparison to the Shoe or the Big House. Yeah, they can win that game.
I think if Penn State beats Ohio State, I think they're in. I think Penn State is going to lose one more game. That's why.
Penn State is easy schedule. I agree with that. Penn State has got an easy schedule.
I personally think Penn State's going to lose two games. I think they're hopefully, God willing, no offense, E-Cat, going to lose to my Buckeyes at home. And then I think somewhere on the schedule, they're going to stub their foot. I can't believe how bad they played against Illinois. I know I took the plus 18.5, and I was very confident about it. But to be honest, the whole Saturday, I'm like, oh, my God, there's no way that they're going to be able to keep it within 18.5 at Penn State. I think a lot of it has to do with Drew Aller, no?
Michigan also has Oregon at home. And Michigan's losing 3-4 games.
See, Ken, I protect Drew Aller because he's from Northeast Ohio. I like to give him the benefit of the doubt. I covered the kid at Medina for high school hysteria for ESPN Cleveland, all right? But I think they expected him to be a little better than advertised. They have no offense right now.
He's been pretty good. They have maybe the best, they have the second best rushing attack, in my opinion, in the country, which is no small
feat. But like 14-7 at home, I know Illinois mucks it up. It was 14-7 with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter against Illinois. And it was a damn near pick six that
lost control of that game against a top 20 team.
Who?
Illinois. I thought it was an ugly game by Penn State, Colin. I don't know how much of the game you watched.
Yeah,
but
Penn State. I thought it was ugly. Penn State plays slow and ugly, and it's going. They are going to get in because they have an easy schedule.
And
that's the only reason.
I'll give C-Cat this. They have an elite defense, and that's why I'm worried as a Buckeye fan. I don't know how good Will Howard is. I don't know how Will Howard is going to respond to Eugene and Beaver Stadium.
I have no problem with saying Penn State is going to get into the playoff. That's three. I don't think you should just be able to slot in a four. The Big Ten does not produce four playoff-worthy teams year in and year out. They don't.
Well, can I?
With the expanded, with the Washingtons of the world, they just lost their head coach, who's probably a top five head coach in college football at the moment. And Oregon, of course, is going to be in the mix. I understand that. And USC is a little in, little out. So I don't think that addition is going to get them over the hump of four teams per year.
I think, but back to my argument. I'm sorry, I never went full circle with the argument. Those four teams we just named, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, and Penn State, I take those four teams over BYU, Kansas State.
Yeah, I am not taking Michigan over a substantial amount of teams in the Big 12.
Okay, I would. I think they'd run the ball 50 times and win the game.
And they should have lost to Minnesota. They had a good win against USC, but USC handed them that first half.
Michigan.
Yeah, it's okay. But, Colin, 21 unanswered in the fourth quarter by Minnesota. I think it was just one of those games where
they should have lost, Mike. Mike, they should have lost.
I don't know, man.
They should have lost. They got the onside kick. They called it bogus, the offside. They changed the rule. They changed the rule on Tuesday.
I think I'd still take them over the Big 12. And
Bama's going to get in. Texas is going to get in. Tennessee is going to get in. Georgia's going to get in. That's four right there in the SEC without even thinking about it. Now, the fifth team in the SEC, whether it be Mizzou, whether it be Ole Miss, whether it be LSU, those teams, Oklahoma, if you want to include them, those teams are going to get the benefit of the doubt over that fourth. That fifth SEC team is going to get the benefit of the doubt over that fourth Big Ten team.
I think it's going to be four SEC. And I think one of those teams you met, Colin, can you name those four again? I'm sorry. Bama, Texas,
Georgia,
okay, Georgia,
and Tennessee.
I think Georgia's going to be able to win a road game.
You guys have put too much stock into the Big Ten. The Big Ten hasn't done anything.
You're talking to a Buckeye and a Nittany Lions.
And I'm a Wisconsin. Of course, too much stock in the Big Ten. Big Ten doesn't do anything. They had Michigan that one year, and Ohio State has been perennial chokers when it matters.
Because we lose to Michigan. And don't forget, we gave Georgia the best team ever, a lot of people were saying. We had them dead by rights with C.J. Stroud. So, I don't know. I get what you're saying, though, man. The Buckeyes have to put up or shut up. That's why I'm worried about Eugene. That's why I'm worried about Penn State.
That was Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, Colin Russo. It's been Russo and Rizzo sending you off into Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your day.